This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Thanks for the ride.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Peter. We need to talk.
Well, we can talk later.
Well, we can talk now, if you let me.
But what do we have to talk about? Why now?
Because we haven't talked at all for so long. Your Aunt May and I don't even know who you are anymore. You shirk your chores. You have all those weird experiments in your room. You start fights at school.
I didn't start that fight. I told you that.
Yeah, well, you sure as hell finished it.
What was I supposed to do? Run away?
No, you're not supposed to run away. But Pete, look. You're changing. I know. I went through exactly the same thing at your age.
No, not exactly.
Peter, these are the years when a man changes into the man he's going to become the rest of his life. Just be careful who you change into. This guy, Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened. But just because you can beat him up doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
And today, we have a special guest with us, my wife, Elisa.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to talk about Spider-Man.
Yes.
The Raimi trilogy is kind of what we're covering.
Yeah. The Spider-Man Raimi trilogy. So, just to give a little synopsis, Spider-Man came out in 2002. Spider-Man centers on high school senior Peter Parker, who, after being bitten by a genetically altered spider, gains superhuman strength and the spider-like ability to cling to any surface. He vows to use his abilities to fight crime, coming to understand the words of his beloved Uncle Ben, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Cool. So, now, real quick, Lisa, I understand that you're, like, Spider-Man's kind of like your jam, right?
Superman used to be my favorite superhero, but when this movie came out, Superman got shunted to second place. And I was, Spider-Man is awesome.
Right.
And I taught for a couple of years, and that first year of teaching was really hard for me, and I actually got a subscription to Marvel's online digital comics archive.
Okay.
And I found the Amazing Spider-Man comics and read through Amazing Fantasy number 15, which is the origin story of Spider-Man, as well as the first 100 issues.
Holy cow.
of Spider-Man. And then they had the first 100 issues just complete, and then they skipped a bunch. And so it's like 132, 157. Hey, look, there's a Venom episode. He has a black suit. Oh, well, we're gone. It's past that. I don't understand what's going on anymore. And they don't have them anywhere online. And then I also found the Ultimate Spider-Man, where they had almost all of those.
Okay.
And then they didn't. And I was very upset at them.
Gotcha.
So then I got too poor to continue that monthly subscription and stopped it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like they didn't even have like full arcs or anything. It was just like random issues.
That's so weird. It was so annoying because like the Venom issue was Spider-Man suddenly popping back out of this alternate dimension or this extraterrestrial thing. And he shows up and he's like carrying this person that he's rescued from who knows where back in New York City. And just like, what?
That's funny. Gotcha. Okay.
And, I mean, I guess as far as, like most superheroes, most of my understanding of said superheroes can come from the awesome 90 cartoon.
Right.
I watched Spider-Man, X-Men, Batman, the Ant-Man series, of course.
Right.
And, yeah, so that's my knowledge of Spider-Man.
Gotcha. I think when I was a kid, I was, like, pretty much, like, Batman. Not even so much DC, just Batman-oriented, and then I kind of got into a Marvel phase, but my Marvel comic experience was always kind of centered around, like, Spider-Man and the X-Men. So, like, when this movie came out, I was pretty stoked, because I was kind of right in there, and then kind of came back home to DC eventually. But I still, like, have a soft spot in my heart for Spider-Man and the X-Men, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I remember though, like when this movie came out, like the hype around. I actually went the first time I saw it was at a preview screening, and it was like in a huge theater, like 500 seat theater or something. Mm. And so like everybody there was like going out of their minds when we saw this. It was kind of it's like still an experience that like is cool to you know remember. So yeah. Even though like my thoughts on the film has changed a bit, like that is an experience that
yeah.
you know still is kind of I still appreciate and love. So
yeah.
Cool.
I just kind of had like a couple of initial thoughts that I thought was interesting. Just like because you mentioned the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, uh-huh. and those uh-huh. were kind of did you ever hear about those or read any of those, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so kind of like the idea was to kind of like rather than like. Reboot Marvel, right, and try and bring in new people that way. They created like a separate line, like an alternate universe type thing.
Oh, and they had Ultimate X-Men.
Yeah, Ultimate Fantastic Four, what have you. And it was kind of like a way for them to like reintroduce the characters, kind of like in like a modern setting without like 40 years of backstory that they had to try and reconcile or whatever. It was like a fresh start, like allowing that stuff to keep going, but then doing gotcha. New okay. things. Mm-hmm. So, it was kind of interesting because, like, you know, you mentioned Amazing Fantasy 15, and that's, like, 15 pages. Like, his whole mm-hmm. story is, like, 15 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the ultimate version, it's, like, 7 issues.
Yeah.
Like, it gets really... And, like, not stretched out to, like, where you're, like, you feel like they're beating a dead horse. Mm-hmm. Like, they really expanded on it, and it was really interesting, and it kind of... So I think the movie was, like, an interesting amalgam of, like, the original kind of... story and the ultimate kind of brought together because like the ultimate it ties in like the origin of the Green Goblin
gotcha.
Into Spider-Man's origin and everything. It's just kind of interesting. What are you guys like initial like just overall thoughts on the movie, I guess? Like
well, it was like there's a lot of nostalgia factor going in here.
Yeah.
Like I remember that I just felt watching this movie the utter sheer joy of Peter Parker discovering his Spider-Man abilities. And
yeah.
it was just incredible. Like, I was a little confused about the fact that he has his own web stuff
right.
going out. But that when he's trying to figure out which hand position makes the web shoot out.
Right.
Go, web, go!
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And just, like... sliding into billboards and things like that.
yeah.
It's fun.
That is fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was excited for this movie
mm-hmm.
when I realized, like, they're making a Spider-Man movie.
Right.
This looks so cool.
Right.
And, yeah, it was just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was the same thing. I think even just, like, rewatching it this time, like, it's been a while since I watched these movies, but, yeah, like, that kind of, like, joy and, like, just mm-hmm. fun factor of him, mm-hmm. like, discovering his abilities was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, so. Okay, Eric, there was something you wanted to mention, I guess before we get into the movie, about, like, the marketing that changed, obviously.
Yeah. So, if you watch the original Spider-Man, you know, he takes down the guy who kills his father, and then all of a sudden, you see just a bunch of newspaper clippings about, like, this Spider-Man saves people from whatever.
Right.
And just a bunch of, like... And then you start seeing him in the full new suit
mm-hmm.
running around saving the city.
Mm-hmm.
That just happens.
Right.
I believe the reasoning because of that is because I believe his original introduction was the teaser trailer.
Right.
Which, due to the tragedy of 9/11...
Right.
Was left on the... cutting room floor.
Oh, whoa!
My mind's been blown!
We got so meta just now.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that was the one where he like, web a helicopter in between the Twin Towers?
Yeah, I don't think you ever even see him, do you?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's just kind of implied.
No, you do. There's a bank robbery.
Oh, yeah!
I rewatched it last night. There's a bank robbery. The guys are in the helicopter. Something goes wrong, and then you see them fly backwards.
Right.
And you can see that they are in a giant web strung up between the two
okay.
World Trade Center towers. And then it cuts to Spider-Man's eye, and you can see the towers in the distance.
Okay,
and then it cuts to him, like, swinging around. He swings down.
Okay.
And then it cuts to the title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so pretty quick. Okay, gotcha.
With awesome pop music.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, yeah, I'll have to rewatch that trailer just because I don't think, because they released it probably, what, in summer of 2001?
Yep.
Right?
And I saw it before, I watched it before the movie Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
So the trailer was probably better than the movie.
I thought the movie was okay. It was not what I was expecting.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyways, but like I never saw that trailer, and so I'd heard about it, and then obviously once 9/11 happened, like that trailer was gone. I don't know if they rushed to put out another trailer or something, but
they probably did. Yeah, it was. I saw it in the summer of 2001.
Okay,
and yeah, by probably October, or even
I would imagine that like 9/12, it was 9/12,
it was gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that was supposed to be his original scene of him in the full on suit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was probably supposed to be his original scene, but due to that tragedy, they obviously cut it for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've never done another cut with that.
Mm-mm.
Okay, because I know that they did like a. Was it before Spider-Man 2? Maybe before 3. They did like a long... It was before 3. They did a longer cut of 2. Mm. But I wondered if they ever did anything with Spider-Man 1. Yeah, it's like called Spider-Man like 2.1 or something like that. It has like 5 minutes of extra material. It's not like anything drastic. Okay. But I wondered if they ever did anything with the original where they reinserted that. Because
I don't know.
Yeah. Because like The Simpsons, like they didn't air that episode where they go to New York for a long time because it takes place at the World Trade Center.
Mm.
But now, you know, it's back in circulation and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if they ever did anything. So,
And so because of that, I mean, this might have been the ending shot, but because of the whole 9/11 anyways, a lot of movies in the early 2000s had the Go America.
Right.
You know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like
the final shot.
The final shot is him in front of the American flag, and then he swings and cuts to black.
You know, that's true.
Which, it's an awesome shot.
Right.
But,
it's also a really CGI-heavy shot.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, it didn't look like... Maybe I watched it on, like an iPad or something, that specific scene, and I'm like, oh, man, like, that CGI looks, like, really obvious. But watching it, like, on my TV... It looked better, but, like, the flag looked totally CGI. Because it's just gigantic, and obviously there's no way they're stringing him up on anything like that.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, that flag looks pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, cool. So, yeah, that's the one little thing I wanted to mention about that.
Okay, cool.
So, should we jump into pros?
Yeah, might as well. Go for it.
I'll start. Pros. J.K. freaking Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
He really is, like, the perfect casting. Uh-huh. Did they... So I still have yet to watch Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I'm going to watch it before we get around to reviewing it. But he's not in that either?
No, I don't... The only place he's been in that hasn't been voiced by J.K. Simmons is the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Okay.
Cartoon.
Okay.
He actually voices J. Jonah Jameson in The Ultimate Spider-Man done by Disney, which I only started watching the first season and decided, this isn't the Spider-Man I know and love. And then I stopped, but apparently it gets better after season one. But,
a lot. Okay, because I didn't know if he ever showed up in recast in Amazing Spider-Man 2, and he's not been in the MCU yet.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
But it makes sense, because... Peter's like 15.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's him.
Right.
Willem Dafoe. I've apparently been saying his name wrong for all these years.
Right.
As Norman Osborn, and just great casting overall.
Yeah, the casting is really good.
Mm-hmm.
This was my first introduction to Bruce Campbell.
I think it was mine too.
I didn't know who he was, but my buddy was like, dude. This guy's hilarious. He's in the Evil Dead trilogy.
Right.
So funny.
Well, and Sam Raimi did the Evil Dead trilogy, right?
Which is why he probably brought him
in
on.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do kind of find it amusing that he's got a different role in each movie.
Yeah.
It's kind
of
funny.
That's funny.
I forgot he was the ring announcer though.
Yeah.
In this one. And I love it when he's like, He's like, the human spider, that sucks.
Get ready for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm not going out there. He didn't say my name right.
He said my name wrong.
Bonesaw is ready.
Oh, Bones. Like, that is awful and great at the same time.
That whole scene sequence, it's like, what in the world is this?
Yeah. Other pros I had. The sets and costumes look great, especially the Spider-Man suit. The film looks like it came straight off of a comic book.
It does, yeah.
It looks like a comic come to life.
Right.
It sets up later films. I believe there's a mention of Eddie Brock. They're like...
Was there?
I think there might... Before, when he wants to get a job at the Daily Bugle, and he's like... These Parkers, or these photos from Brock are terrible.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I remember. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
It's like Spider-Man, like, he's like this little speck.
Right, yeah, everybody else has really crappy blurry shots of him.
Yeah, yeah. So they set that up, I think. It has great music and great opening visuals. CGI is pretty amazing for its time.
A lot of it does hold up. There's a couple of shots that are spotty, and I'll get to that when we get to cons.
And it's a fun movie without the slapstick of other comic book movies of the time.
Right.
Feel free to insert a Batman and Robin reference here.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess this was like 5 years after.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy to think about.
And that's what I have for con.
But that was a big precedent set by X-Men.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because
they were kind of like the kickoff for like the modern comic book movie. And I mean, it's different, like, because they're not so much... It doesn't look like a comic book brought to life, but like the serious tone, while still making it fun, but not not a parody of it, so...
So, yeah, that's what I have for pros on Spider-Man.
Okay.
A lot of mine are the same. J. Jonah Jameson, I believe they have not put him in other movies just because J.K. Simmons was perfect.
Right. Well, the funny thing is how he's like been like, I'll come back and do it. Like, I'm totally down for it. So, and I don't know, like, that's one of the things, like, with, like, the talk of, like, recasting things, like, for rebooting, like, the DCEU. You can't, you have to recast everybody. Like, that includes Gal Gadot. Like, you have to get rid of her. It's like, why?
Yeah.
They kept Judi Dench when they rebooted Bond. Like, why couldn't they just keep J.K. Simmons for J. Jonah Jameson? Like, nobody's gonna care.
Yeah, he's gonna be
like, you can't just, I don't know. It's like, I think you can keep some of those casting choices.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're rebooting or whatever. Like, just do it. He was great. I don't think anybody better for that role.
Yeah.
Sorry to interject on that.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Just how I feel about him.
Another, pro, I feel like the fight between Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin and Spider-Man as Peter Parker is the best at the very end of the movie. I think a lot of comic book movies nowadays, especially, the final fight is this big, huge explosion fest.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's see how many innocents we can kill during this.
Right.
Whereas in this one, I mean, it starts with Spider-Man saving MJ and the people, but then he's taken to this little abandoned building. It's very cramped, it's very close, it's very intimate.
Right.
And it's very much Peter Parker against the Green Goblin, not Spider-Man against the Green Goblin.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then...
Can I jump in right there real quick? Because just thinking about that, it's true, like, everything is... In other movies is like as big as you can make it. Yeah, this really is just really quiet. And thinking about that, like watching it, it seemed really different because it's just these two guys fighting it out rather than like, oh, and there's also 70 people you gotta save, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, and it's like you can tell that Peter's fighting for his life, and at the very end when. You know, Norman Osborn is killed by his own glider, and he's like, don't tell Harry.
Right.
I'm just like...
yeah.
Even still, every single time.
Yeah.
And it's just like this final plea from a father. He's back to Norman Osborn at that point.
Right. Did you have any others? I didn't want to jump in on mine.
Well, like, Norman Osborn's descent into madness was very well done.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't sudden, it wasn't... it was very gradual, and Willem Dafoe's expressions and the different his classic Green Goblin grin,
yeah,
all that other stuff is just like spot on.
Yeah, that's true. He really does like show like that he's conflicted when he's kind of realizing what he's been doing and everything, which is is cool. It's not like a full on embrace of villainy. So. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool. Do you have anything else?
One thing I really like about, especially the first two Spider-Man movies, is the family life. In the comics, it's very much Peter's motivation as Spider-Man. I mean, yeah, he wants to save people, and with great power comes great responsibility. But it's also very much, I need to protect my family, right, and my family is important. And you see him doing things like picking up eggs or picking up Aunt May from the hospital, making sure she gets to her doctor's appointments, making sure the bills are paid, checking in on her, even after he goes to college in the comic books. And they did a lot of that more intimate stuff in the Sam Raimi trilogy.
That's true. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. So I like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. I think he's like, he's like nerdy, but you still like, you relate to him. He's not like this abstract, like super nerd that nobody can relate to, you know? I agree. Like that you said, like about Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin. And I think that he really pulls it off, especially like when he's got the mask on, cause the mask doesn't have any expression. So like he pulls off, I think, the character well, considering that. I was really surprised at how quickly the film moves forward. Because like, minus credits, both Peter and Norman's origins as their alter egos are done in 15 minutes. But like, it didn't feel rushed. So I thought that was kind of cool. I think one of my favorite parts of the movie is when the Goblin kidnaps May. And he breaks in and like while she's doing the Lord's Prayer. And he's just like, finish it! It's just like, that is still horrifying. Like, that is a scary scene. That it's just like, still just is like, oh, the chills just thinking about it, you know? One of the things I thought was funny, this isn't like really a
fault. It's like the look at me scene from Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that scene. Oh, man. Oh, just thinking about it now. Oh. One of the things I thought was funny was just because of the time that it was put out, like, Peter gets home, and there's the note that says, like, something about, like...
Oh, meatloaf.
Yeah, meatloaf in the fridge. I'm like, that's really funny because, like, if you think about it now, like, that just wouldn't happen. Like, everybody has a cell phone. It's just like, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that does seem like something of a bygone era. I did like that they gave him the organic web shooters, which was totally something original to this film. But just because of, like, his economic status, like, it just, even though he's, like, a genius, like, the materials needed to create that are, like, it's kind of just out of left field. Like, that's one of the things that takes me out of the Amazing Spider-Man movies, but it makes sense in the MCU with Stark bankrolling him. I do like the spider suit. I think that the ones in the MCU and Amazing Spider-Man 2 look better, but this one's still... I mean, it's kind of like the Batman 89 suit. Like, it doesn't look like it's outdated, but it still looks rad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I also really liked the line of Norman when he says, you never know when some lunatic will come along with a sadistic choice. Like, that just made me giggle. Like, that's a perfect villain line. And I also really liked the part where the crowd just starts, like, tossing crap at the Goblin. Like, that just, just makes me laugh, so. Cool. But, you know, I mean, overall, I think that it was really good. I enjoyed watching it again this time around. It's been several years, but still held up for the most part, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
What cons do you guys have?
My cons, it was a pro, but I think it's also a con. It looks like a comic movie come to life.
So can I jump in right there real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think that's the part of it is like the CGI is kind of like, I mean, not a fault of its own. They had to do what they had at the time, but like the visual effects do look a little dated now. And so that kind of trying to make it look like a comic would come to life kind of pulls you out of that reality sometimes.
Yeah.
I am not the biggest fan of Goblin's costume.
I don't think anybody was.
I think they had a hard choice there. They could do the purple and green spandex, or they could go with something completely different. And so they chose completely different.
Right. Yeah. Now, are you talking about the like the suit or like the mask or both?
Both, but mostly the mask.
Okay, did you ever see... That was one of the things I had. Did you ever see the
screen test? Yeah.
That looks amazing. It's so good.
Yeah. It was like part prosthetic, part like
animatronic.
Like, it looks. I watched it again last night. I'm like, that would have been awesome.
Well, and that's the problem. Like Willem Dafoe is super expressive when when he's the goblin, but you know, in without the suit on. Mm-hmm. Like the facial expressions he does are really cool, and none of that gets to come through with that goofy-looking mask.
If motion capture had been where it is now, it would have been amazing.
That would have been cool, too, you could have done stuff like
but
that.
But, like, with that mask that you're talking about, the unused mask, they wouldn't have needed the animatronics, just the prosthetics.
Yeah.
I mean, just, like, slip that entire mask on. I think you can still buy stuff like that online if you have enough money.
Well, and Norman Osborn doesn't have that problem. So.
Well, yeah.
Like, the suit, I didn't really... Like, considering, like, the military origins of it, I think... Again, you could have had him expand on it and add in the purple and whatnot, which kind of would have been cool. But I don't really have a problem with the suit. But man, that mask is just the knowing that they had something else going.
Yeah.
It's just such a bummer.
I guess the main thing is the mask. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing that it. Yeah.
Right.
But everything else, you know, he kind of just appears. Spider-Man just kind of appears out of nowhere, which we've already explained the reasoning why.
Right,
but.
And at that point, it's like the film's shot. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's all the cons I had. Cool. Not very many.
Yeah,
I didn't have very many cons either. The Spidey suit, I don't know what they did, and I can't remember which scene this is, but there's one scene where they've got this Tobey Maguire in the Spidey suit without his mask. Mm-hmm. So he's like maskless Peter Parker Spidey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some serious... I can't remember if it's in Spider-Man 1 or 2, but there's some serious padding going on in the chest.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, if you... He's not Chris Hemsworth, and that's okay.
Right.
He doesn't need to be. In the comics, especially the earlier ones, there are some ones later where they make Spider-Man this super buff. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy, where in the world do those muscles come from? artwork. But most of the time, he's got more of the build of a runner than a bodybuilder.
Right.
And so the fact that they tried to buff up Tobey Maguire with this padded Spidey suit, which is very obvious, and it doesn't look that way all the time.
Right.
But in a couple of scenes...
Could it have been, like, the lighting?
It could have been the lighting, but it was... It's like... I swear it looks like there was a pillow under the shirt.
Right. Because, I mean, I know that they do, even with, like, Ben Affleck's bat suit. Like, he got jacked to be Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But even that suit, they have, like, the padding. I think it's more of, like, the aesthetic of, like, they want to have the impression of, like, the comic book, right? Like, the musculature underneath.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't come out, obviously, with the suit. But they still do pad those costumes for that, but I didn't notice that, but that is interesting.
It, like, each time I watch it, I'm like, he looks really weird. I swear they padded it in this scene only.
it could have been for a specific shot or something, because I know that they make, like, tons of versions of the costumes, but that's interesting.
And then, like, some CGI is really obvious, like when he's jumping from building to building, it's like, that's a CGI person. And I'm like, why didn't they use a stunt double and green screen or something? Would it have made it look too green screen? We were pretty much beyond the point of green screen add-ins looking flat, especially with CGI.
Right.
I'm
just glad they didn't do, like, any, like, CGI, like, close-up shots, like the Uncanny Valley. Why would you do that?
Yeah. But, yeah, so those are my cons.
I have a few. So Norman's initial transition into the Green Goblin, I think, is a little goofy towards the end. Like, it's just, like, a little too over the top for me.
When he, like, screams.
Yeah, it just seems kind of weird. But I also find that this isn't really a con. It's just kind of odd that Norman reads about the possibility of losing his government contract in the Daily Bugle, which is, like, a tabloid. I'm like, you'd think that Norman Osborn, of all people, would get, like, the Times or something.
Like, don't you know that only the comic book newspapers exist in the comic book
world? Right. I'm just like, the Bugle of all things, that's what Norman's reading. Okay. I just thought it was funny, too, like, when Peter catches Ben's killer, or his killer. he smashes his face through a couple of windows. I'm pretty sure, I'm like 95% sure that they repeated the shot. Like, I rewound it. I'm like, I'm pretty certain that they just duplicated that shot of him smashing the head through the window. Like, the expression's the same. It's just kind of funny. One thing that I do think was, like, I think they did a lot right with, like, updating the origin or changing it. But one thing that I think was a mistake was having him, like, really become Spider-Man after high school graduation. Just because, like, so much of, I think, what makes Spider-Man interesting is, like, he's a kid. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, Peter kind of is figuring that out, but it's like, you know, he's got to try and get to his biology class, and yet he's fighting the Green Goblin or something. And I just think that, like, that's one thing. Like, they did the same thing with the Amazing Spider-Man series, too. Like, doesn't he graduate at, like, the end of the film or something?
Well, the second film is when graduation occurs. Oh, and it occurs at the beginning, and then the rest of the movie, along with everything else going on, is, like, college applications and stuff, which...
Right. But, like, so, like, Amazing Spider-Man 1, it's, like, senior year or something, right? And, like, that's what I think is, I think, a good thing that they do with the MCU is he's, like, 15. He's, like, a sophomore, you know? Like, I'm just kind of, like...
That's actually more according to the Ultimate, because he's a senior in high school at the beginning of Amazing Spider-Man.
Right. Well, but even
in the comics.
Right. But even then, they kind of retcon it, like in Civil War. When it comes out, when he reveals who he is, he's like, "I've been Spider-Man since I was 15 years old." So I mean, I guess it depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, there's been so many like reboots, redones, re-whatevers.
they've changed it to where effectively he was like, mid-teens when he became Spider-Man. But that was just kind of one thing. I was like, I think that they just missed out on a well of cool Spider-Man stories or possibilities where he's in high school. I always hated at the Unity concert, like, I've never liked Macy Gray, and so I hate that cameo, and it just really dates the movie now, because she was, like, a big thing then, and then, like, nothing ever happened with her after that, so I'm just like, it just feels weird.
I thought it was weird when it came out. I'm like, who is that person?
I didn't recognize, like, oh, they just got some singer, okay.
I've always been into music, like, around since from that time, and so I kind of knew who she was when she hit, and I'm like, oh, that's just like the biggest, like, who's a hot star right now? Perfect. That's it. And then, like, nothing ever happened with her again. So I'm just like, oh yeah, this was 2002 when they released this. I never liked the shot where the Oscorp board members are vaporized. And that's like it's just a bad CGI shot. Like, cause the pumpkin bomb explodes and then they're like skeletons and then the skeletons like disintegrate. And I'm like, it just looked bad then and it looks bad now.
And isn't that the only time when the pumpkin bombs are that powerful that they can atomize something?
Yeah. Cause later on it explodes by Peter's face and
even
he's totally
in,
fine.
Even in Spider-Man 3 where Harry's bomb is
yeah.
back at him. And,
the only effect is it turns you into the Spider-Man universe version of Two-Face. I also think that the way that Norman finds out who Peter is like really rushed and convenient. Like that's part of like, I think it's just a disservice to Norman's character because like in the comic he like put blood, sweat, and tears into finding out who Peter was.
Oh, you clipped your arm. I fought Spider-Man an hour ago and I cut him in that same area. Ergo,
it all makes sense. Yeah. like that just, it just feels super rushed and it's just like, we need to have him figure out who Peter is. So there, that does it, you know? Also the Goblin's trident appears like out of nowhere in that final fight. Like you see him fighting, he's holding nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, trident. Nobody caught that. Like nobody was like, wait a second. Like, if it came out of the glider, like, show it. I don't care. It's just all of a sudden it's from nowhere. The other thing, too, is it's not really a con. Like, I just wish, like, Kirsten Dunst is fine as Mary Jane. I just wish Gwen Stacy was...
The first one? The
first one, yeah. I just like Gwen Stacy more.
Yeah. And... Well, I mean, in the comics, Gwen Stacy... I mean, there's Betty Brown, but... Betty Brant, sorry. And, but then she's like, no, wait, I'm way older than you, Peter. Leave me alone. And then Gwen Stacy comes into the picture. And then MJ comes into the picture as a friend.
Yeah.
And then Gwen Stacy... tragically dies.
And wait, what?
Spoiler.
What? No!
And then MJ, throughout the next several issues, is just, like, being a friend to Peter. And it's not until, like, Peter has recovered from his grieving process that they become an item.
Right.
See, then there's me, which, having only the 90s cartoon to go off of, MJ was his girlfriend in the cartoon. So, like, Gwen who? You know,
Yeah, and see, I read the comics, and I don't know, like, Gwen always just seemed like a really interesting character to me. I don't know, like, MJ just is, like, so, well, in the comics anyway, she's, like, way far out of Peter's league. And it's cool that they get together, but I don't know. And I guess with the Green Goblin, too, like, Gwen is so tied in
to that, story
that it's just, like, I wouldn't have wanted her to die in this movie, but it just... I don't know. It's one of those things I'm like, it's just one of those missed opportunities that when you think back, it's like, that just would have been really compelling down the line.
Yeah.
But I understand why they went with Mary Jane. She's the more recognizable character. Like you said, this cartoon, like, everybody knows who she is. So, but I just think that Gwen's just as important to Peter's character. And we'll get into why that angers me when we get what we got. So... Well, do you guys have any final thoughts?
It's a fun movie.
It really is. Like,
If you have to watch just one... Okay, never mind. one comic book movie? No, just It's a hard choice, but if you have to watch just one Spider-Man movie?
Right.
This might be the one. If you have to watch just one Sam Raimi...
well, this is of the three, this one's my favorite. Yeah. Like, I think this one is the most, for me anyway, well done and... it makes a lot of sense the way that they, like, even though I don't necessarily, I would have liked to see other choices like Gwen or something, like, it's hard to argue that this isn't a really well done and successful movie.
Well, cool.
All right.
Well, next time we will be discussing Spider-Man 2.
Woo! That's just my thought. Cool.
Yeah. So... we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.